The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What do you think of this case? There was a man who had two sons. He approached the elder and said, 'Son, go out and work in my vineyard today.' And the son replied, 'I'm on my way, sir.' But he never went. Then the man came to his second son and he said the same thing. And this son said in reply, 'No, I will not go.' But afterward he regretted it and he went. Which of the two did what the father wanted?" And they said, "The second." Jesus said to them, "Let me make it clear. The tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came preaching a way of holiness, you put no faith in him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did believe in him. Yet even when you saw that, you did not repent and believe in him." The Gospel of the Lord. Those Alabama folks are tough, aren't they? Man, the ones on the Mississippi border and the ones on the Georgia border, they're both tough. But it's only a game, right? How many of you have been praying when you come to the traffic light? Good. Stop light, stop sign, green, red, amber. Any of them? How about it? How about, like I said before, joining me in that? And somebody asked me at the beginning of the week, "Would you join with me in prayer and be in communion with me?" And I said, "Okay, tell me what instance." And they said, "Praying especially for this person who is in great need at the present time." So the red lights. So it happened, I was at the funeral of my priest friend, Father McDermott, on the coast, spent the night in Past Christie, and started off. By the time I got through Gulfport, man, I had a lot of opportunities to pray. Really. And by the time I got to Hattiesburg, it was really a whole lot of opportunity. Man, there are opportunities out there to pray, just to beat the band. Why would we not avail of them? So maybe, hey, for this week or maybe this month, would you pray for, when you come to stop signs and you have to hold up a little, say, "Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Because of my own volition, I would never have chosen to pray at this moment." Hey, how about praying for folks who are going through RCIA at the moment and going through discovering Christ? Good enough? How are you all doing? Would you join me in that prayer? Good. And the rest of you too? Good. Thank you. Why not? Why not? That we would have a common prayer for our growth and development. And then maybe when you come to the green light, maybe you would pray for these people in our church, the people who have cancer at the moment. Pat Owen was just diagnosed on Monday of this week. He usually comes at 8 o'clock. With pancreatic cancer, and it's also in the liver, you know. Visited with him on Friday morning. You know, he really has such a great understanding of life. It's amazing to be with some of these people. He said, "I was watching a show on television last night. That would have been Thursday night. And it was about St. Jude and the children in St. Jude's Hospital." And he said, "I became totally aware of the fact that, hey, they will never get to live the fullness of their lives. I've had at least 5 of those lifetimes." So he said, "Why would I be trying to hold on if this is how God is bringing his redemptive grace in my life?" Marie Lotus, same thing. Marie has been working on this for a long time. She has all of her funeral preparations made and the reception afterwards. And when I was at the funeral, I came back, I was talking to her and I was saying, she said, "I don't know that Father McDermott," but she said, "I know Father Ruan and Father Noonan, and I'm going to get him. We're going to have a little toddy when I get up there." I mean, it's not that fearful after all. And then Patty Davis, you know. Man, what a great faith she has, you know. Whole lot younger still, you know, than I am. And she's saying, hey, there's nothing more they can do, but man, I am ready to make this journey. And then sent a crowd. Man, we are blessed with the people. You talk about an integration of faith. Man, in the long years of my experience of priesthood, I used to be afraid of it and afraid of being with them. I'm loving being with these people. Wow. Talk about teachers. They are something. They're not concerned with some of the peripheral stuff. You know, isn't it a great grace? And that's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel. What a nice, interesting kickoff. Prophet Ezekiel, man, they're great readings. I'd love to speak to you about all of them, but, you know, it would take us quite a while. St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, how beautiful, you know. Hey, don't do anything out of vainglory, and don't do anything out of jealousy and hatred and spitefulness. Ah, sure. Because look at him, the master of it all. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming into the full likeness and awareness of who God is and where he was coming from and where he was going. Purposefulness in life, not empty vainglory. Purposefulness. And then the first reading, Ezekiel, speaking, God speaking to him and saying, hey, go ahead and tell the people of Israel, you're saying, hey, God's ways are unfair. He said, hey, let's check it out carefully. Whose ways are really unfair? Let's be honest. Whose ways are unfair? Your ways or my ways? I know the answer. Whose ways are unfair? And then the gospel reading, and I'd like for you to look at the gospel reading in context. The 23rd Sunday of the year, we had the gospel passage. Remember what it said? Let me help you. It said, if your brother or sister does something wrong, amen. Go ahead and go to them. Go to them and tell them, hey, what the problem is, what the issue is. Don't bother gossiping and going to everybody else. Don't bother running your mouth about what was done to you or the hardship or anything else. If you want to grow up, do something. Don't whine and complain. Do something. Do something directive and positive. When you speak to the person, tell them what the issue is. If it works, you've gained a friend. Now, if not, hey, bring some other people there. So that the testimony of others may verify what the real truth is. And then if that doesn't work, hey, bring the church into it. And hey, if that doesn't work, maybe you don't need that relationship. It was pretty simple. And then the next week, the 24th Sunday of Ordinary Time, it was a very simple gospel. You remember it? Peter said, oh God, come on. He said, Jesus, come on, for God's sake, tell me how many times must you forgive and I'll do it. And Jesus said, Peter, no, it's not a number of times. It's an attitude and a pervading attitude and disposition. It's not a number of times. Is it? Peter said, how about seven? One every day of the week? No, Jesus said, I want you to think of it in context. How many times do you find yourself in need of my forgiveness? That will give you a little perspective. How many times do you find yourself in need of my forgiveness? Wow, that's pretty often. In fact, I can't really enumerate, perhaps, throughout the journey of life. He's saying, use that as a little launching pad or a stepping stone when it comes to forgiving others. Because it's not number of times, my friend, it is attitude and disposition. And then he came up with a real woozy last week, right? He said, let me tell you all a story so that you can really begin to understand this. There was a man who owned a vineyard. He went out in the early morning. He hired people to come into his vineyard. He went out again in, 9 o'clock in the morning and then at noontime. And then he went out in mid-afternoon. He went out in the evening. And man, they all had a good day and they were all engaged in the laboring of building up the vineyard. And then at the end of the day, he said to the foreman, now, go ahead and give these folks their wages. But a little kicker, start with the folks who came in at 5 o'clock and start paying them and see how other people, how they have a comfort level with all of this. And they didn't have a comfort level. They began to argue and they said, how in the world could you pay them the same wage? We were here in the hot sun all day long laboring. And you give the folks who came in at 5 o'clock the same wage. And Jesus said, are you angry? Are you jealous because I'm generous? And they were saying, well, yeah, we sure are. Because, you know, we live in the meritocracy society where everything is meritorious. And you get what you earn and all that other stuff. And Jesus said, come on over. Live in the gospel. Not in the meritocracy. You're not making your way to the kingdom. I'm bringing you there. It's the only way in coming to the kingdom. So he was saying to them, hey, do something. Do something about changing that pathetic attitude. It's not what you do. It's what he's doing in you and through you and with you. I'm not making my way to the kingdom. He is guiding me there. It's only in him and through him that I am coming to that kingdom. And then he had the story today. You like it? You like the story? Two sons, pretty simple. Right? I read it a little differently than you had it in the book, right? That's the way it was originally. He said to the first son, go ahead and work in my vineyard today. And he said, sure. But he didn't show up. And then he came to the second son and he said, you go and work in my vineyard too. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not cut out for that. The two sons. This is something else. You know what? Those two sons, they came here to St. Paul's. They belonged here. Their dad was one of the original members here. He was there from the beginning. And the two boys came here. People here at St. Paul's, they had great respect for the dad, you know, because he got to know a lot of people, and he was here in the beginning and the foundation of all of this. And the people got to know him pretty well, and they had a great respect and a great regard, but they had a differing perspective about the two boys. The first son was Hyman, and he used to come here every Sunday. He was dressed well, he had a beautiful suit, and he had a tie, and he was always well-dressed when he came, and he was proper. He was very well-educated and very sharp, and people liked him a lot, and they felt good about him. And when he would walk up here in church, people would move in and make room for him in the pews. And they had a great regard for him. Now, his brother, they didn't feel quite so good about his brother. His brother was a little different, you know. People thought he was perhaps a little odd, you know. He had long hair and he had an earring, maybe two, in fact, I think. You know, I'm not too sure. But he used to come here, but he didn't come very often. Because, you know, he said, well, you know, I feel a little judged when I come in here. I feel like people are looking at me and... I know, I'm a little different, but, you know, he smoked a little and he smoked some of the other stuff and he had a little trouble with the other, you know, pieces, the other weed and the other, you know, some pills and a little problem with the alcohol, you know. And there were people who really said, you know, man, isn't that a shame? How in the world could a guy do that to his father? And we know his father. And he felt that judgment. But he came and he'd come up here sometimes, but nobody seemed to move in and make him feel welcome or provide a space for him. But when he was here one Sunday, it was after Mass, somebody spoke to him and they said to him, Loman, that was his name, what's the purpose of your life? What are you looking for? What's really important to you? And he said, what do you mean what's important? He said, well, you know, life itself, that's important to me. And doing things. And they said to him, you know, you don't seem to connect a whole lot with other people. He said, well, you know, that's true. I don't. I feel pretty judged a good share of the time. And I feel like, you know, people don't really understand me anyway. And he said, why should I have a purpose in my life? And that person began to explain to him, saying, you know, that's a really important thing. If you don't have a purpose, man, why do you get up every day? Why do you wake up in the morning? It's so important to have a purpose. And he said, you know, that's pretty interesting. And the person said to him, you know what? We're doing a program here in our church at the moment. It's called Christ Life. And one of the first things that we do in Christ Life is we ask that question. To what is your life directed? What is the purpose of your life? And he said, wow, that's interesting. And they said, would you like to come? And he said, yeah, I'd like to come. I'd like to be engaged in that because I'd like to really find a purpose in my life. And so he did. And he came to Christ's life and he came to discovering Christ. And then he went through following Christ, and then he got into sharing Christ, which was the third level. And in sharing Christ, he had this extraordinary experience. Somehow, it was really the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he came to a realization of how much his father really loved him. He had always kind of doubted that. He had this figuring in his head that his dad loved Hyman, but he wasn't too sure about how loved he was. But he had an overwhelming experience of how much his father really loved him and how he'd never really put him down in any way. He had encouraged him and brought him along all of the way. And what happened was that turned into an experience of his heavenly father for him. And he began to realize how loved he was by God. And he went through an extraordinary experience. He really encountered the Lord. And he came in and some people said, wow, there's something different about low man. You know, high man, low man. Hey, there was a little difference. Some people noticed it, but other people, hey, they were so dyed in the wool on their initial perspective, they couldn't see any change in him. But a lot of people did. Jesus told the story once again, because he really wanted to get the point across to them. My friends, what are you doing just sitting around complaining? Do something. All of those parables, you'll see it even more clearly in the gospel next week. And all of this was headed toward his death, why he was dying. He was dying because of these realities. He continued to give them truth upon truth. But he wasn't judging them. He was saying, hey, you judge yourselves. What a great grace. Because for us as Catholics, that is so important. We blame the church and we say the church judges us and the church says you got to go and you got to do this and you got to do that and we become faithful to that. And we have too many people in the Catholic Church and the Catholic tradition. They go Sunday after Sunday and somehow they look for something to happen, but the most common expression about the Mass, the Eucharist, in Catholic circles is, it's boring. Guess why? It's not because of the priest. Now, sometimes we might be. You know, hey, we all are, perhaps, from time to time. But for the most part, it really isn't. It's because I have no real purpose and no hopes and no expectations about it changing. Well, you know the truth and we haven't told people? Still a secret? Hey, if you keep coming week in, week out, you're going to be in the very same spot that you are in your Christian life this time next week when you come back. Unless you have a purpose and a commitment to change and hear him speaking to you, why do it? Why bother? Why bother? That's what Jesus was saying to them. Remember last week, he held up a mirror to them and he didn't judge them. He said, let me tell you what God looks like. And they were able to look in this mirror and they said, oh my Lord, I'm really not like him at all. They were able to make that confession and profession of faith, and I'm sure some of them changed. And then he came to the gospel this week and he said, look at these brothers. You know what the first one is? That's you, the Pharisees, the religious leadership. And you know who the second one is? He's a man with all of his sins, a woman with all of her sins and failures and struggles and pain and difficulty. But they got it. They got it. And then they came and worked in the vineyard. Why? Because they came to know forgiveness and mercy. Wow. What an experience. Unless I have some kind of a purpose in being here week in, week out, I can blame the church and I can blame and I can say it's the altar servers, it's the lectors, it's this one and it's this and that. Hey, it's me. It's me. Each and every one of us.